In today's gospel, Christ's feeding of the 5,000 prefigures both the Eucharist and the heavenly banquet at the end of time. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place. So the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Deacon Doug.
David was 2 years old when he was diagnosed with leukemia. After many fruitless months of treatments at a local hospital, David's mother took him to a world-renowned hospital in Boston to meet a doctor who was famous for treating children with cancer. Upon seeing the diagnosis, the progress was quite grim, about a 50-50 chance of survival. To try to help save him, he required countless clinic visits, blood tests, and intravenous drugs, which came with fear and pain, especially for a 2-year-old. It all seemed in vain, but David, as young as he was, never cried during these procedures. His mother would assure him again and again that the doctor cared for him and loved him and was only hurting him with needles because he wanted him to get better and to trust him. When he was a little over 3, David was to have a spinal tap, a difficult procedure for anyone at any age. His mother again explained that he was sick and would need the painful procedure and told David again that he needed to have great trust in the doctor because he loves you and he will do anything to make you better. David nodded in agreement. Excuse me. The procedure was awful. It took 3 nurses to hold David down while he sobbed and struggled. And finally, when it was over, through his sweat and tears, he looked up at the doctor. And the doctor said, "David, thank you for being so brave and for trusting me." And David responded, "I did it because I know how much you love me. And today, you must really love me." I mention this story because trust is at the heart of today's gospel. Today, John's gospel reveals to us in striking contrast the two different responses from 2 different disciples regarding trust. The gospel begins by Jesus going across the Sea of Galilee from Capernaum to the other side of the sea, And John writes that a large crowd followed him. Now, why were these crowds following Jesus? Well, first, John the Baptist had recently been put to death, and the followers were seeking Jesus. Second, as we've heard in the prior Gospels, the 12 disciples had been sent into towns and villages, driving out demons and curing the sick. And the rumors of these deeds had spread all over the region. And finally, Passover was at hand, and there was a large number of travelers flocking from northern Palestine to Jerusalem, and rumors were spreading about this would-be Messiah. So this massive crowd had seen Jesus and his disciples go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and they rushed around the sea to see him. They all gathered at the foot of the hill where Jesus and the disciples were resting. And there, lifting his eyes, Jesus saw this massive crowd, and as we hear, he took pity on them. He turned to Philip with a question: where can we buy enough food for these people to eat? Really wasn't much of a question, because Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do, but he asked him to trust him. This was a test for Philip. He was inviting him to trust him, and unfortunately, Philip did not trust him. Philip was looking at this desperate situation from a merely human point of view, and it seemed utterly impossible. As we hear, Philip replies, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. The standard daily wage for someone working back then was 1 denarius, and by Philip's calculation, it would take more than 6 months of wages to give these people just a little to eat. It was an answer full of hopelessness. So Jesus turns to Andrew, and how different the response from Andrew. He says, there's a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. The fish would have been a little bit bigger than a sardine, probably pickled and used as kind of a spread to soften these hard barley loaves. What a contrast, though, between what Philip says and what Andrew says. In the face of the same hopeless situation, Philip falters because he sees only from a human point of view, but Andrew brings all that he has, all he can find, meager and desperate as it is, and he entrusts it to Jesus Christ. 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. Andrew is beginning to look upon Jesus with the eyes of faith, and that changes everything. Jesus asks the people to recline. And by the way, we are starting to see the Eucharistic overtones of the foreshadowing of that final Passover on the night before his crucifixion. John writes that 5,000 men were there in number, but as Jesus looked over this crowd, there were women and children there, and so it probably was closer to 10,000 or more. From a human point of view, this is a hopeless situation. From our human reasoning, it's absurd. But of course, Jesus' ways are not our ways. Giving thanks to his Father, Jesus himself distributes the loaves and fishes, and John writes that people ate to their fill. Gathering up the fragments, the disciples packed 12 wicker baskets to overflowing. So what's the purpose of the gospel? Well, this gospel is meant for you and for me. This gospel calls us in our most desperate situations. Remember, the most grievous assault that we hear from Satan is to assure us that there is no way out. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. Your suffering, your grief, your fear, your sin, the enemy continues to assure you there is no way out. Hope is impossible. We read in Dante's Divine Comedy, the inscription on the gate of hell states, "Abandon hope, all ye who enter here." But the beauty is, we know that's not true. In today's gospel, we see that even the most desperate and impossible situations, we will overcome if we entrust everything we have to Christ. Remember that your trials are not meant to destroy you or me. Just as Philip and Andrew, our struggles are sent to strengthen our faith and to raise us to sanctity. So when you're buckling under the weight of your cross, remember how much he loves us. He truly loves us. I'd like to part with a portion of a hymn that I came across from a woman named Lucy A. Bennett. She was born in 1850 England as a Methodist, and I pray it often in difficult moments. Trust him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust him when thy strength is small. Trust him when to simply trust him is the hardest thing of all. Trust him, he is ever faithful. Trust him, for his will is best. Trust him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place to rest. Trust him, then through tears and sunshine, all thy cares upon him cast, till the storms of life are over and the trusting days are past. May God bless you.